This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Taylor Quimby, in for Virginia Prescott. A quick glance at Amazon's list of top-selling cookbooks reveals a strong focus on particular food trends and diets, like vegetarian-only books or recipes for the paleo tribe, or they bank on high-profile TV personalities, like the Barefoot Contessa or Anthony Bourdain. These big, glossy cookbooks filled with mouthwatering photos are the norm nowadays, but in the 1970s and 80s, there was another kind of less appetizing but very charming alternative, the locally produced community cookbook. Meg Favreau writes the Forgotten Foods column for the online magazine Table Matters. She's amassed a small collection of these locally produced cookbooks, including a couple from New Hampshire's North Country, where she grew up, and she joins us now for more. Hi, Meg.
Hi, Taylor. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. So how much do these books differ in terms of format and polish? How do they look different from the coffee table-sized cookbooks of today?
Well, almost all of the ones I have are spiral-bound. They're either typewritten or, in one case, printed on what appears to be a very old dot matrix printer. Many of them are illustrated with images, like, for example, I have a page open right now from the Shelburne Sampler 2 that has what might either be a molded salad or a bundt cake or I don't know what on the page. And there's no context as to what it might be.
And the picture, so we're not talking about these like beautifully photographed, perfect food concoctions.
Right.
We're talking about like a sketch by someone who isn't an artist by trade.
Exactly. Yeah.
So you mentioned the Shelburne Sampler, too. What's the story behind this one?
Well, this is actually a cookbook from my hometown. And I believe that, like many of these local cookbooks, it was made as a fundraiser. And so they invited everybody in town to submit recipes, and then they compiled them and sold them. And actually, the last time I was in New Hampshire this summer, this cookbook is still for sale in stores in the area, which made me really happy to see.
So Shelburne Sampler 2, what are some of the most memorable recipes from here that I'm hoping you've tried?
Well, my absolute favorite recipe is one called Eggless Applesauce Squares. It's great because I will reluctantly admit that I don't generally have a high opinion of vegan baked goods. This Eggless Applesauce Squares recipe is my favorite vegan cake of all time.
Wow, and this is long before the vegan trend really came up.
Exactly. And, you know, and it's not, it doesn't boast that it's vegan or anything like that, but it's just a really wonderful, simple snack cake recipe that you can dress up or down.
Okay, so what about on the other side then? Do we see some really gross recipes?
Oh, yes. Oh, totally. So two of my least favorites that I will admit I have not tried from the Shelburne Sampler. One is cream cheese cabbage. And that's pretty much what it says, with the addition of a quarter teaspoon of celery seed. And then there's also dockside zippy pineapple salad, which, first of all, there are literally no docks anywhere in this town. So I feel like maybe that should be a warning sign. Let me list you some ingredients here. We have your lemon jello.
Got it.
We have your lime jello.
Check.
We have your evaporated milk.
Got to have it.
Cottage cheese.
Good.
Mayonnaise.
Hmm.
Crushed pineapple.
And it's getting a little weird.
Wait for the zippy. Horseradish.
and there's your zippy. We have another cookbook in your collection, Our Favorite Recipes, North Country Senior Meals. What's the story behind this one?
Well, this is another fundraiser cookbook, and it's, let's see here. So North Country Senior Meals would like to express our sincere appreciation to the many people who gave so generously of their time and energy in collecting and submitting recipes. Some of the recipes are treasured family keepsakes, and some are new. However, they all reflect the love of good cooking. I think that's a lie.
What makes you say that?
Because the soup, salads, and sauces section begins with a hot fudge sauce.
Oh.
But there's just so many. Oh, one of the with many of these local cookbooks, one of the things that I really love about them is that they're great places to find comfort food recipes, right?
Sure. And
your really good classic cakes, your classic casseroles, things like that. But this I feel bad saying this because this is the area where I'm from and I love it dearly. But I don't know what is wrong with some of the people who submitted recipes to this. Because I look at macaroni and cheese pan casserole, and I'm like, great, this is going to be a classic mac and cheese. It's going to be baked. It's going to be delicious. I'm going to read you a few ingredients again, if I may.
Oh, go ahead.
you begin with one box of macaroni and cheese dinner.
Okay.
So we're not even, we're not doing the homemade mac and cheese. There's no real cheese in this.
The recipe includes the box.
Right. Package of frozen peas. Okay. That's common for old casseroles. Then one 12-ounce can of Spam.
All right.
A can of cream of celery soup or cream of mushroom soup. And then a second can of Spam.
You know, does anybody still make these locally produced community cookbooks? Like, why did this trend go out of vogue?
You know, I think that people do still make them, and you can find them occasionally, but it's just, it's so, as lovingly crafted as something like this might be, it's hard to compete with the internet, where when you want a recipe, you just go online and you search for exactly what you want, and there it is. And I think that, you know, it's also spoiled people in terms of when we get a recipe, we want to know what it looks like. We want to be able to envision it. We want to taste it with our eyes, if you'll forgive the kind of cliche phrase. Poorly illustrated dot matrix cookbook does not quite stand up to that. Although I assume nobody would use a dot matrix printer to make one these days.
Right. Well, we do often talk about the importance of the local food movement. I was wondering, maybe it makes sense to see a revival of locally produced cookbooks that actually focus on eating regionally available foods instead of things like Spam and multiple flavors of Jell-O.
Yes, that would be lovely, and that's a great idea. You should take that idea and run with it immediately after this interview.
All right, sounds good. Meg, thank you so much for sharing these little bits of forgotten food history with us.
Thank you so much, Taylor. It was a pleasure to be here.
Meg Favreau is a contributor to the online magazine Table Matters. You can get a link to her article and see some of the delicious and not-so-delicious recipes from her North Country cookbook collection. It's all at wordofmouthradio.org.